And the reason we wanted to bring you on is to get a, as you said, you haven't spent a whole bunch of time around St. Louis, but you're very familiar, having spent many off seasons there with the. Can you kind of give us a general, before we get into specific Brady stuff, into it, the general sort of growth of the hockey scene in St. Louis over the time that you've been there?
Oh my goodness, it's been. I mean, let's face it, that draft where the Blues. The Blues AAA team had five first rounders. Was really something that kind of created a lot of interest around the hockey world. At that point, the St. Louis Blues had a slogan, the Heartland of Hockey. The Blues got the Winter Classic, and then the team was starting to really be competitive and ready to win a championship. And then the Blues win the Stanley Cup, and then all these kids, including Matthew and Brady and Luke Cunningham and Trent Frederick, now they're first round picks. I think the reason why it's been successful here is so many Blues players from we always talk about Jeff Brown and Kelly Chase and Al MacInnis and Keith Tkachuk and they've done a great job, but there's so many other guys, in the alumni, Ottawa guy Jamie Rivers does such a great job with minor hockey right here. Jamal Mayers, they all seem to stay here. There's a great quality of life here in St. Louis, in the suburbs. There's affordability. And I think what happened, too, to improve it is some of the old rinks that were just needed to be pushed down, got knocked down. But the investors here in St. Louis, because of the, great passion for hockey, for the AAA Blues, they built a three rink sheet that's just magnificent. The St. Louis Blues are at Centene Ice Plaza. There's four rinks there. So I guess all in all, there's a lot of availability here for the Blues players, and there's a lot of competitiveness for it. And I think that has an awful lot to do with the alumni that have retired over the years and have stayed here and really made an effort to make the hockey better and to go into different cities and really compete and win Quebec Pee Wee championships and, really be national champions in every level. So I think that's one of the reasons. I mean, even, Tim Peel, the former referee, he's a good friend of mine. We play a lot of golf together. He and Jamal Mayers are coaching their son's team. They're in Michigan. They're posting pictures. They're winning, and they're not Triple A players, but I don't know. There's something about this city. It's a great hockey city. It's a great sports city, as you guys well know.
A pang or two that when we were coming through, we'd have the annual skates in the summertime, and Ottawa at that time had enough NHL players, kind of a fabric. In a lot of ways, does what's happening in St. Louis pretty much mirror what we saw here in Ottawa when we were growing up?
Yeah, that's a great point. I remember on summer, we'd be up, especially up in Barrhaven, and you'd get ready for those skates, and I remember at the time you got Mike Bullard, and you had Claude Wiesel, and you had Claude Julien, some of the older guys that were there, and then you had some of the younger guys, like myself, and you had Jim Ralph and Steve Yzerman, and it just became, you're right, Simmer, it was competitive, because number one, you didn't want to do anything in Ottawa, I didn't, and not succeed at it. You wanted to, there was great competition, and you wanted to be amongst the best. There, it didn't matter what sport you were playing, and so I think that that there is probably some similarities there. All these young kids from St. Louis here, I mean, they see on in the arenas at the Blues practice facility, there's a wall of every St. Louis, product that has played in the NHL, starting with Pat LaFontaine was born in St. Louis. So they've got him in there, former goaltender Mike McKenna. They didn't play much in the NHL, but still he was, played a lot of years pro, and every single player is up there. And I think, kids go by that mural, and they look at that. I've seen young kids just stare at it with their hockey bags over their shoulders. And yeah, I know exactly what they're thinking. They're thinking, someday I want to be up there with Brady Tkachuk and Matthew Tkachuk and all these guys. And so that has created a real competitiveness here in a good way.
With Darren Pang, of course, from Ottawa, now one of the color analysts for the St. Louis Blues. Darren joining us from St. Louis this morning. So, listen, the reason we wanted to bring you on, Darren, was talk about the St. Louis hockey scene, but in specific about Brady Tkachuk, because as you can imagine, everybody's on tenterhooks here in Ottawa awaiting the Senators and Tkachuk to sign some sort of contract agreement. He remains unsigned, as do about 15 other restricted free agents. So, as you mentioned, you have spent summers past golfing with him, getting to know Brady Tkachuk. How do you, if you could imagine how he would be feeling right now, a week away from training camp, what do you think is going through his mind?
Well, I think he's very fortunate that he's got the family situation, as you well know. You've probably seen pictures posted of Brady and actually Robert Thomas that live with him. Obviously, St. Louis Blues, another guy that's unsigned at this particular point as a restricted free agent, and Matthew and Big Walt getting Taryn off to school. They're such a tight family, as you guys well know. It's well documented. I don't have to go into it, but they, you know, so that kind of support would make it, you know, a lot better for Brady. But Brady Tkachuk, he loves the players that are there in Ottawa. He's talked time and time again about the group that you've got there in Ottawa, and you know, so many of them similar age. They want to be Stanley Cup winners there. So I think I would have to say, without speaking entirely on behalf of Brady, that this is not easy for him to leave his teammates behind in this situation. And although it's not complete, because you know camp hasn't started just yet, you know, there's probably something internally there with Brady that would be bothering him in a big way. But like I said, that's a family that's gone through this before, and that would be a big help for him. But there's no question about it. That guy's he's a great team guy. He loves his teammates. He always says good things about them. He always pushes them to be harder. And I'm just such a big fan of everything about the kid. I think he's just got unbelievable fabric about him. I'm just a remarkable character about Brady.
And is that, as you kind of pointed out, Panger, a nice thing that it's like, hey, sit back and just understand this is business. You know, it's nothing personal. At some point, we'll probably get something done. But, hey, you got to go through this process, unfortunately.
You know what, Simmer? I remember I think I just retired from the Blackhawks. And for whatever reason, Bill Wirtz was, he wasn't very happy with the owner of the original Winnipeg Jets, and mm-hmm. remember they made an offer sheet to
yeah,
Big
oh, yeah,
Walt.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like something like $17 million. It seemed like just a mound of money, especially coming from the Wirtzes. So he was making a point, and you know, so even that experience for Big Walt, who loved Winnipeg and loved being in Canada, isn't it funny that Walt, you know, drafted by Winnipeg, here he is, an American, kind of an icon playing in Canada, then Matthew gets drafted to Canada, and Brady gets drafted to Canada. Mm-hmm. So, I think the family surroundings and the strength of the family will help Brady make, you know, this business decision for him. I mean, you know, it is not easy, and it's kind of the part of the game, too, fellas, that you know, the general managers and the ownership group used to have control over only one thing, you know, entry level and restricted free agents. And, you know, that doesn't happen anymore. That went by the wayside in their negotiating power. And, you know, now all of a sudden, and, you know, you've got these players that are still players that you think you have under good control contract wise. They're getting eight, you know, some of them are bad deals, you know, eight times eight. And some of them end up being good deals when you look at it. You know, after 7 or 8 years, you go, well, that was a really good deal for both teams. But by and large, they're at such a young age that I'm not sure if any of them should be making that kind of money, you know, that early in their career. But that's probably another topic at another time.
Yeah, that horse, I think, is out of the barn now. I think it started probably with, Simmer says back to the days of Brad Richards, but probably Leon Draisaitl's contract in Edmonton started it, but in retrospect, that looks like, well, that's a good deal for Edmonton in terms of his production. If you think back to a couple of years ago, Matthew Tkachuk went through the same thing. He was unsigned to start camp with Calgary, and I think it was about 10 days or so. He missed a few exhibition games and then finally signed, I think, on the 25th of September. And you mentioned Keith Tkachuk's history of signing an offer sheet before. Does that give Brady some, you know, his dad and his brother kind of having gone through a similar, if we call it at this point, a, you know, a negotiation, a tough negotiation, does that give him some kind of comfort that other right direct family has lived it, and Matthew as recently as 2 years ago?
Yeah, I would probably say just confidence, you know, not bravado confidence, because that's not what they're, you know, that really isn't what he's all about, but just confidence to know that he's a good person, he's a great teammate. What's he average? Is it 20, 22 goals a season? But he brings so many more of the intangibles that every single team in the NHL would want to have that Brady brings to the table. So, yeah, I would have to say that it's likely uneasy, but I would have to think that he's still very confident in his situation. But the other part different than Matthew signed late in September, but you know, with the COVID restrictions, you're not going to be able to just jump right into it. So that'll be a difficulty, even if it's signed, you know, just before the first, let's say before the first game of the regular season. Mm-hmm. So there would be some more difficulties in that, and it would have to take a little bit more patience on everybody's behalf to get up and running and make sure that the player's not pushed into a situation where he's not ready, maybe physically or just shape-wise. You don't want that player going through all of this and then, you know, then pushing it and then getting hurt early on in the season. You could ill afford to have that happen.
Yeah, great point. Panger, just thoughts on the Blues, kind of where they're at, a couple of years removed from a cup. Thoughts on the move? I thought Bujanovic was a great pickup, but just overall roster, and I guess any news on Thomas as well?
Yeah, nothing on Thomas, and I did see him the other day, and he just kind of shrugged. And you know, I think he's looking at that Jordan Kyrou that got a 2-year bridge deal at 2.8, and it's clear that Robert Thomas has done more in the NHL, including obviously winning a Stanley Cup and setting up one of the greatest goals in Blues history in Game 7 in double overtime against Dallas. So, I would think that there's frustration on their behalf. I believe that he and Brady are represented by the same. Is that Craig Oster, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does he know he's close to the family, right?
Great. Oh, Robert Thomas?
No, Craig Oster.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Craig Oster. Yeah, I was just saying. There's Robert Thomas. Robert Thomas lived at the Kachucks' place for his first 2 years. But, yeah, so, I mean, Robert's, again, going back to it, yes, Robert is a big part of it. So I think there's maybe a little frustration mounting there. It's funny how some players, maybe some agents, get deals done quicker than others. And some have difficulties with certain general managers out there and just make it a little bit more difficult. So hopefully Robert Thomas gets going. I think the Blues are still in really good shape. You mentioned Bushnevich. They'll miss Jaden Schwartz. He signed as a youth. He went through a real tough time last year, Simmer. Really tough time. I mean, lost his dad shoveling snow at the age of 51. Yeah. They were very, very close. And so he kind of went through a dark spot. I think he needs a fresh change, and that's what he's told me a couple of times. So I think they're still feeling the effects of Jay Bouwmeester and Alexander Steen, to be quite honest with you. Those guys were glue guys in that locker room. Same with Alex Pietrangelo. But at the same time, they signed Parayko, and they've got all the pieces are right there. So, I would have to think that they want to prove to a lot of people that what happened last year and during the bubble was an aberration and not where they are going forward.
Yeah, it's funny how it all circles back to Newport Sports. Hindsight, because I know Army does a great job, but do you think both sides, he and the Pietrangelo, along with Newport Sports, if they could do it over again, they get a deal done with the Blues?
It's a good conversation to have. Yeah. I think everybody, you know, they dug their toes deep into it. And But I do think, in fairness, I think Alex Pietrangelo, and this is my conversations with him, and I did sit down with him a number of times just to get a feel for where he's at. And a lot of these guys, they're really adamant about upfront bonuses, and especially later on in the contracts, salary being very low, and then big time bonuses. Well, you know, Doug Armstrong, give him credit, and the Blues ownership group, which is consists of about 14 individuals. They're not real big on big bonus money. You know, they're just one of those teams that's not been something they've done. And they don't want to make that phone call to 14 owners and ask for, you know, big, huge bonus money. So I think that was another reason why Vegas was able to pay maybe a smaller cap number, but bigger in the bonuses for them.
All right, good stuff. On that, we'll put a wrap on it. And thank you very much for your time, Darren, as always. And a little bit of insight, as you can imagine what the situation is here in Ottawa. It is the number one story as we're a week away from camp. We'll see. It only takes one phone call, one hour. Maybe things can be cinched up, but we'll wait and see on that. Appreciate the time this morning. Congrats on the hole-in-one and your second one. And hopefully a third one to come, and you can tie your late mother. That would be family bragging rights there, right? Thanks a lot, Darren. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Have a great day. See you.
All right. There's Darren Pang joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the bigger, better pizza. Order online at gabrielpizza.com.